So here's a little out-of-date song, but maybe not so out-of-date. It's called the Jill Stein Rap Song.
You have a right to vote, but need a right to know all the candidates that you could be voting for. Yeah, you know Hill and Trump, but there's still one more. The only candidate left who ain't a corporate whore. Still Jill Stein. There's still Jill Stein. Burn it, fans, stop crying, because there's still Jill Stein. Don't step in line. Girl, it's fine and fight. Let's get Jill Stein the mic debate night. All Hill and Trump do is lie, so sign the petition to get Jill Stein airtime. Real, not fake. You can see it with the eyes. She's the only candidate that doesn't use hair dye. Well, Hill and Trump wine and dine, Jill Stein strives. Not for the 1%, but for the 99. We need to transform to a brighter paradigm. And Jill Stein is our Optimus Prime. If you want to fix the climate in time like Bill Nye, your best to get the mic to Jill Stein. Jill was arrested protesting the Keystone Pipeline. Jill's been arrested protesting three times.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That the power of the people
don't stop.
People, not a lesser evil. It's why I am voting Jill for a Green New Deal. Jill's the doctor to go. She's more green and appealing than Kermit the Frog. No more corporate control, make up the universe whole. Jill's green and radical like a Ninja Turtle. Still Jill Stein is the only candidate who wants Snowden back in her cabinet. Nukes and fossil fuels, she won't frack with them, and she won't just ease but erase student debt. So, bail out people instead of Dow Jones. Let's flip the script like Oliver Stone. Don't want no more money junkies running the country. Jill's the good, Hill's the bad, Trump's the ugly. Bernie was a beast, but Jill is the best. Green Immortal Technique and Cornell West. Hill and Trump supporters are like orc hordes, but Mark Lamont, Hill and Nibra gonna run our court.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That the power of the people
don't stop.
People, not a lesser evil. That's why I am voting Jill for a Green New Deal.
Democrats and the pubs are just corporate thugs. Green's the only one that doesn't take corporate funds. So screw red and blue, there's a green pill too. If you knew the truth, it's Jill you choose. Peace, planet, and people over profit. Jill walks the walk, doesn't just talk shit. And instead of blaming Jill or Hill for a split vote, rank choice votes in for a win-win. Then like the 15 with the job guarantee. Legalize weed, stop TPP. Make foreign wars for oil obsolete with energy efficiency by 2013. You're freaked by the DNC leaks. What real democracy and peace? Get mean and green like TMNT and tell the oligarchy to get the hell up off me.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That the power of the people
don't stop.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That the power of the people don't stop.
Say what?
Don't stop.
Power to the people. Not a lesser evil. It's why I am voting Jill for a Green New Deal.
Cover that, corporate media! When they tell you that resistance is futile, tell them where to shove it.
Power concedes nothing without a demand, and we are that demand!
The Green New Deal not only turns the tide on climate change, it revives the economy, and importantly, it makes the friggin' wars for oil obsolete.
Thank you, debate!
So guys, we're here, got the great Matt Orfalia.
Wow, impressive.
If you've been watching his videos, y'all know he's got the Bernie's bongos, he's got all the great videos.
Wow.
Absolutely,
hey.
Viva Jill Stein right here, buddy.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Absolutely.
Wow, somebody knows me.
Absolutely.
The song is 3 years out of date at least. It nonetheless talks about issues more than simply attacking Trump, which I think is a losing strategy. And unfortunately, it's the one the Democrats are using. And too many progressives in Santa Cruz, well, I hope they're not doing it, but I'm afraid they are. We'll see what's actually happening as the year unfolds. Next is another report from, end of the year report from Las Vegas.
I'm on the line with our intrepid reporter from, I think, still Las Vegas. Is that you? You still hanging out with the gamblers there?
Yeah, I'm in Las Vegas.
And what?
I won a
go ahead.
I won a tournament online for like June 20, entry fee into a $100,000 tournament, but my friend didn't win.
Well, work harder, will you please? Play more, and I...
Well, yeah, I'll be playing on my own account in the future. Anyway, she was trying to kick me out today, so I had to call the oinks. She was using force against me and doing my stuff out on the porch. I had no shoes on, so I had to push my way back in.
How long had you been there?
Since October.
Were you paying rent, or are you one of them freeloaders?
Yes, I pay rent. She gave me an email notice for eviction on the 12th of last month, so I can stay through the 12th.
Uh-huh.
I have given up my room for their comfort. I'm sleeping on the living room,
uh-huh,
as usual, the victim. And they're in my room. So I had to call the oinks.
Mm-hmm. And how did they...
I was outside in my socks, no phone. It's cold here.
How did they perform?
Afraid for my own personal safety. Well, of course, the oinks put me in cuffs right away.
Of course, yes, right.
And then they had a very, very difficult time identifying me because of my one-word name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was out there. I was warning them, you know, Terry stops only 20 minutes. I could sue you. And the one cop, they knew. I mean, he knew the law. But one cop was telling me, come and go. The other cop, no, he can stay. She hasn't even done a formal notice to the constable.
Very good.
So I'm probably staying here, but yeah, it was just hilarious. You know, I'm quoting the Constitution at him and
quote
my federal preemption under the Fifth as a court of militia. The whole time I'm in handcuffs. I did have to report to them that I usually carry pepper spray with me, but I left it in the backpack. So, of course, you know, they're very concerned about that, but they said that's not a crime, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to identify me for some other crime that was happening. Just get a call in or something.
They didn't catch your open carry was ignored.
I kind of put it in my backpack at that point because I better be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's legal to carry it anyway. It's just pepper spray.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that they just could not identify me.
How long did, what were you charged with or even on what suspicion?
Nothing.
Well,
nothing. It's just that Terry stopped detained with the handcuffs.
Well, was there some law? Is there some law in Nevada that requires you to ID yourself if you're presented to a cop?
Well, you're supposed to give them your name. There was even a case on that. I gave them my name. It's their fault. The computers don't work that good.
Well,
I got to say, it was totally fine.
Well, I just know that in California, I think it's still the case. You're not even required to give your name, although ACLU suggests
right.
You do. You can give your fingerprint.
You should. It was a federal. It got to a federal case. The Hibble, I think it's called. In Nevada, you got the federal, so in the Ninth Circuit, so yeah, you do have to give them your name. They're telling me you can't lie now. No, it's my full true name.
Mm-hmm.
and I got carded the other day in a casino for wearing a hoodie, and he just looked at him and, you know, my name is Free, and it's Free on the bus one that I got.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like me with the beard. My old ID is up for renewal, and I'm shaving that one. So he says, "Is that you?" This was in the casino. So I've been, ID'd now twice in the same week.
Well, they know who you are. It may be time for you to come back here and start looking.
They know who I am. I may have to go back to California, but I can't afford it. Can I sleep on your floor for a few days, Mama?
If you can find a spot on the floor, it's kind of...
Somewhere between all your tapes and recordings and papers. I know your background. I've never seen it, but I've seen your car.
Well, I'm afraid that's a sad indication of my living situation, too.
I know it is. I use probability thinking. Robert's house is probably packed with stuff.
Mm.
So, well, what's up in anything else? You know, another thing is, okay, I bring it back to the homeless issues. I have to say, that was fun, man. I got to get back into politics. On the bus the other day, the bus driver wanted me to look and see if this other guy had his eyes closed. You know how blind I am, so I got over that. But basically, they throw you off the bus here for sleeping.
Huh.
Nonsense. But you can ride a Greyhound, and everybody sleeps on a Greyhound. No problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the city buses harass the poor? There's no good reason. If you can get away with sleeping on a Greyhound, you should be able to sleep on a regular bus. Doesn't harm anyone, but kicking somebody off in the middle of nowhere harms them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to have some way to deal with the vagrant problem, my son. And
well, yeah, but that's, you know, not a legitimate. There's no power granted in the Constitution to regulate our consciousness. You know, they do the same thing in the library in Santa Cruz, but no lawyers come up on that one. That's an easy win on that. The people should be allowed to sleep whenever they want to. In fact, there was even a Greek religion of Asclepius, where they'd sleep on the floors and have snakes crawl over them. This whole idea that public sleeping is something wrong and needs to be dealt with.
Time, place, and manner, although Boise may have something to say about that, so...
Well, time, place, and manner, yeah, but it, there has to be a rational reason why you're... denying them their right. It's a right under the 10th and a subsequent due process of the 14th. You have a right to sleep if you're tired. I mean, and the guy got off at like a senior daycare, you know, center. So some old guy just couldn't keep his eyes open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they nap off. So why is he being harassed by them? This bus driver was a decent person, you know. She was, I think she was OCD. She was telling everybody to keep their legs out of the aisles and honking at all the cars on the road. But just, I mean, it's a social thing or something that really activists need to step up behind and say, people have, even at the Sub Rosa, they wouldn't let people, you know, I asked Wes about it. You know, why don't we just set aside a separate corner where people could sleep? No, no way.
Well, actually, I mean, during our meetings, some people fall asleep and I don't wake them up, and neither does the guy.
Right, right. I mean, they don't hassle them like they do on the bus drive, but still, there's just some kind of a cultural thing that we harass people for their state of consciousness. I mean, you know, it's like, and it's not... It's not something you can really control if you fall asleep, you know?
Well, I think it's not so much that you're going to be punished. It's regarded as a form of distraction from the ethic of the group you're in, where it's for a certain, people are assembled for a certain purpose, and you can only allow to be there within those parameters. So, I'm not saying that's legitimate or that's constitutional.
Well, I mean, yeah, private individuals can, you know, discriminate, right? Our rights are only to protect us from the government. But the government's the one doing it in the buses. You know, the buses and the library are funded through the government, whereas the privately funded one, Greyhound, doesn't hassle you for sleeping. So there's no rational reason to hassle people for sleeping on a bus. It's merely oppression.
Well, I regard the same argument as you know, relevant in sleeping elsewhere, too, but...
Exactly. As long as it doesn't really harm anybody, you know, if your legs are in the aisle, if you're sitting in a seat where, you know, it's not going to be a problem, then they should be allowed to sleep on a bus.
Well, I expect to see you pressing the case somewhere in the local courts.
Well, I'm trying to get out of here. I want to move back, because you can't grow here, you know. You go pot, so fuck that. I might want to live in an oppressive state. Although the rents are cheap here, I can find another place easy, and there's just a few rentals in Chico that I can afford, but here there's all kinds.
Well, don't get into too much conflict with your housemates. I find that's really psychologically, well, at least it's very uncomfortable for me when that happens. So.
Oh, it's been that way. Well, this is the end of our friendship. I've been friends with her for 12 years, Carmen. She won the best costume, pirate costume at Free Radio in 2010.
Oh, well, I don't remember her, but...
You tried to hug her, of course.
Well...
I told her to just tell her not until you're cleared of all charges, and you said, no, that would be never.
For heavens. Well, let's leave my sordid past behind, although I don't remember that.
Is there any protest going on? I could come back to Santa Cruz and do
that. Yeah, we're doing one today. We're setting up a canopy at the end of the DIY parade, where there are actually, in about an hour...
All right.
We're setting up a canopy in about an hour at noon to memorialize the dead and invite homeless people to come to a makeshift warming center, which isn't going to be very warm because it's outdoors, but it's, you know, it's one way of...
There's always that issue. You know, they take the sleeping bags, both Parks and Recs and the police, they don't return them, and then people die in the cold. That's
yeah, we had the two homeless memorials about a week and a half ago. There were 84 people dead this year, according to the...
84?
And then that
80. Was... It's usually only 50.
Yeah, that's what...
That's a huge increase.
It seems like it. And also, there's... after that, four more people died in the subsequent week and a half.
Wow.
Or three more people died,
cold?
I think.
How many are from the cold? See, that's the thing you really have to find.
No, it's not clear. It's not clear, but...
I know. They want to keep it unclear because they're murder. That's murder. And all the citizens of Santa Cruz are also responsible, aiding and abetting that by not standing up against it.
Well, Mr. Prosecutor, get back here and make the case. That's what I say.
I'm a court of militia. sound of the fifth, I got Tom Hartman to admit that these were times of public danger on February 21st of 2019 because we have a traitor in chief in charge.
Well, he is
anyone to account.
He is our indictment. Is, I hear he's got some great investments. Actually, not. I hear he didn't, and provided you have enough capital to start with and to finish with too. Well, let me leave it there.
Make a fortune.
He has already, I think. But I've got to get down to this project.
The canopy, so
yes, I'm going off to the canopy.
That's not really a protest, Robert.
Well, it's a canopy. It invites people also to bring their sleeping bags and so forth. So I don't know that it's more of kind of a cross between a protest and a, I don't know, a float.
Freedom sleepers prove that you can sleep on the sidewalks as long as you don't obstruct it. Always leave some panels open. So
well, I didn't prove it because they were driven away by phony tickets. So.
Well, at the end, when they started doing it every day, as long as you're only there one day a week.
Right. Well,
that is not sufficient.
If we can convince homeless people to sleep one day a week. Yeah, I mean that's not likely to happen.
Just have seven different spots. There's plenty of protests in Santa Cruz, the golf course, the city hall, the county building. And there's that map where you can lay down legally.
Well, we will be awaiting your return and the full analysis that you will give us. As before,
I want to do a part-time protest for students with debt as well.
That sounds good. I'm going to go.
Does that mean?
I got to go.
All right, Robert.
Call me again, though, but I mean, right now I am time limited, so.
I've pretty much covered everything.
All right.
All right. I'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And up Salinas way, there was a, well, this came over the phone lines, and I'm passing it on to you.
Rita Acosta is with the Salinas Homeless Union, and Rita, you tried to sleep, and you got busted for sleeping. Sort of.
Yes, I did. And I'm also, the Salinas Municipal Code Section 140-030 allows persons to camp in the public's right-of-way, and that's where I'm camping. But they didn't charge me for that. They got me for sleeping in the park, and I'm not sleeping in the park.
So they now claim the park includes the sidewalk?
Yes, there's a code for us to sleep in the sidewalk.
Well, surviving, as you know, is a crime for those who are below a certain level of income. You should have the dignity to simply disappear and die. Try talking a little further away from the phone. Let me see, because it's distorting. Let me see if I can hear you. Say something.
Can you hear me better now?
A little further away.
Can you hear me now?
About the same. A little further away.
Okay, now?
Maybe that's a little better. Try that distance. How many cops were involved in this ticket?
There was two officers.
Okay. And what time did they come and harass you?
At 6 o'clock in the morning.
And what did they say to you when they came up?
That we needed to leave. We needed to get our property and get out of the park. They said, excuse me, we are not on the park. We are on the sidewalk. And the city of Salinas Code says we are able to be here.
To which they replied,
no, you've got to leave. And said when they came back, if I was still here, I would be receiving a ticket. So I told them, well, give me a ticket now then. He said, no, we'll be back. So they did. They came back.
When did they come back?
We had one of our suites also today for the second day in a row, which the park is clean, but I'm on the sidewalk, but they said I'm on the park.
Now, how long before they came back?
They came back like a good hour later.
And how many of you were there in the first
time? Seven when they came.
And when the first time they came?
Seven.
So did anybody leave as a consequence of their warning?
Well, actually, we just meet another young lady that's sleeping here on the sidewalk.
Say that again, although a little more quietly.
I said it was just me and another young lady that was sitting here on the sidewalk.
I gotcha.
We're both still here.
Oh, so you stayed.
Of course I did. It's my right.
Damn right. So they didn't either arrest you, give you a second ticket, or bring you a cup of coffee?
No, they gave me a ticket for sleeping in the park and for a violation of probation because I'm on probation for driving with a suspended license. I'm like, I've been interacting with the police for 2 years, and this is the first time I've ever gotten a ticket for violation of probation because I'm standing up for my rights.
Now, if you were sleeping, why did they claim you were driving on a suspended license? Maybe sleeping on it.
They got me for a violation of probation, and I'm on probation for driving with suspended license.
Ah, I understand. I got you. Let me ask you.
Because I was sleeping in the park, so they say. Breaking the law, it means a violation of my probation.
How far away from the park were you on the sidewalk? This is a sidewalk that adjoins the park, or is a street away from the park?
Yeah, I'm on the corner of North Main and Iris Drive.
Uh-huh.
It's on the sidewalk. It's at where the stoplights are.
And is that, I mean, how far do you have to walk to actually enter the park from there?
It's a pretty good distance. I'm on the sidewalk of the four corners where the lights are. Where you push your button to cross the street, that's where I'm at. So that is... sidewalk.
And would you say it's at least a block away from the park, a half a block?
I'm actually like right at the driveway entrance of the park.
I gotcha. And did anybody in your group have a video camera or a phone that took pictures of this location you were at and the police and so forth?
I did take a video of where I'm located at. A couple of days ago, the news came and did an article on me that I was out here, so, I mean, I've been out here for a couple of days on the sidewalk once again.
And how's the temperature at night in Salinas?
It's freezing.
And is it actually below freezing, or are you just saying very cold?
Well, very cold. And two, even when it was raining, we were asked to take our tents down, and they wanted us to stand in the rain. I'm like, that ain't gonna happen. I'm a human being.
Right on. And so did you have your tents up this morning when the cops came at 6?
At 6 o'clock, yes, I did, due to the fact I was sleeping because we were able to from 7 to 7, sleep.
Right, that's the... people here in Santa Cruz are not necessarily familiar with the ordinance in Salinas. Can you describe it for us?
Our city ordinance says from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. we're able to have and sleep, but 7 a.m. in the morning, we need to take our tents down and do whatever we're supposed to do.
And are the police respecting the nighttime part of that, or are they going after folks in the park anyway?
Oh, no, they don't respect it at all. To them, you know, they're the Salinas PD. They're the law. They're coming to wake us up at 1:30 in the morning, gotta go, rain or shine. They're having us exit the park. They moved us two times in one day, in one evening. And this is at 1:30 in the morning.
Now, is this harassment limited to you and other Santa Cruz union members, or does it extend across the city to others as well?
It's a city ordinance, so it's for all homeless, which, once again, if you go down to the Soledad area, you see tents up, people there day, night, all day long. Rain or shine, they have their tents up. They're not asked to put the tents down. They're there, on the sidewalk, on all of Soledad, Bridge Street. And, you know, I'm like, why are we not able to sleep in peace?
Now, do you think, it sounds like, of course, obviously, it sounds like a politically targeted deal, but what's your analysis? Is this coming from the higher echelons, or is it a case of beat cops who don't like you?
Well, yes and no. I'll say yes, due to the fact Sherwood Park is one of the cleanest campsites that was here, and we're the only campsite that was shut down and still not allowed to come back in. Soledad Street is a total mess. It's a hazard, and they have a sweep, and people are allowed to go back. But we get harassed daily. Every single day we're being harassed.
And for those who don't know, Soledad Street is what's called Chinatown, where there are, maybe 100 people camping in tents and so forth?
Oh, yes. You know, and what's even more shameful is Jill Allen, area because that's where her place of business is, a nonprofit, Dorothy's Soup Kitchen.
Now, in the past, you've had some legal help from attorney Prince, who came in from Berkeley to help. Is any of that in the offing this time?
In the past, we did, and we did a restraining order on the city of Salinas to leave us alone. So in Chinatown, in 2016, when we did that, it did work. When we tried to use that in July, for Sherwood Park, it didn't do due to the rodeos in July. So they're not going to let us mess with Salinas' money, you know?
So you think it was purely a business-oriented decision that had nothing to do with a consistent application of the law?
Of course it is. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I'm doing my store checking, is on Main Street. It's a well-known street in Salinas. A lot of businesses and everything. But, you know, they passed this code. They passed the code for us to be here. So I'm just trying to follow the law. I'm trying to follow the law, and they won't let me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did this initially with seven other people, and then there was only you and one other left?
There's still people, but they can't be in the park, and they're saying nobody should be in the park. So, I'm trying to follow the rules by not sleeping in the park, even though Martin versus Boise says I have a right to. You know, again, I'm on probation. I'm not trying to go to jail. So I came to the sidewalk where they allow us to be, but yet I got ticketed for sleeping in the park, which that is excessive fault.
Right. Now, how many?
On the sidewalk.
Were there people with you also on the sidewalk, or were they still in the park at 6 and then?
Yes. The young lady that was next to me was not ticketed either.
So they only ticketed you. Interesting. So was anyone else other than you ticketed? And did other people stay and continue to sleep with you even after the ticketing? First of all, when the police first approached, how many of you were there? You probably answered this already, but tell me again.
It was just me and the young lady, me and Irene Chavez.
Okay, and so you and Irene were there, and then when you and Irene stayed there, they came back an hour or two later, whenever.
I thought we had an agreement. I was like, excuse me, sir, we have no agreement. I have the right to be here due to the city says sleeping in the right of way. She said, well, you're sleeping in the park. I'm not on the park. You know, I don't know. You know, you can't live with the police department.
Well, how much of this? How much? Say that again. Now, how much of the sidewalk were you and Irene taking up? Could a disabled person in a wheelchair have gotten by?
Yes. A disabled person in a wheelchair would still be able to pass by.
Okay. And you took photos of this, you took video. Have you posted this online for those of us who aren't there to take a look at it?
I did try to post it, but it won't let me. I have an Obama phone, so it's limited what I guess what I can do, so I don't know. But I do have video of it.
You think what?
A witness, but he wasn't able to make it this morning. He had other obligations.
Yeah, you told me that you two had spoken about it, and you weren't too happy about that.
Well, due to the fact that he was so going to be here. If he would have been here, we would have got a video.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very busy person, you know, and he's only one person also.
Yeah, no. I'm having problems, too. We have a protest going on here in Santa Cruz today, and I can't do it because I got a fever, so I should probably stay around here. And, you know, so that's why one of the reasons I'm talking to you is I hope I can pass on some of this information on Thursday.
I even try to get a little bit of media here. But, you know, Salinas is like a clan. We're like a clan. I mean, if they say no one's different, everybody else knows what it's doing. We can't get no news media or anything like that. So, I mean, part of the community believing that we're bad people, even though they're the ones who breaking the law.
It's always a great struggle. It's true. It really is, because you're dealing with a media that doesn't want to believe it, and even when they see it, their editors don't want to print it. And you know the whole story. You've been through it for year after year.
Yeah, you know, and it makes it seem like every homeless person is a bad person. Again, I'm saying, you know, they shouldn't judge a book by its cover. And two, you know, we're human beings. We have a right to live. And two, our city gets done to have
what is your plan now? I mean, you're facing a can they violate your probation for this kind of a citation?
Then again, like I said, Monterey County, Salinas, and the Salinas Court, they can do whatever they want. I know they can, due to, this is not my first incident with the Salinas Police Department. It's regulation is not what I say. You know, due to the law, I'm a homeless person that has no rights.
What do you think is the likely outcome, although, of course, you can never be sure?
Excuse me?
What do you think they're likely to do? So you think they'll even take this to court, or you think it'll get dropped?
They'll take it to court due to the fact they're trying to stop people. And they know I'm not going to lay back. I'm a shouter, and I'll fight for my rights as any way I can and every way I can.
Mm-hmm. Any help forthcoming from Anthony Prince or anybody else?
I am calling at the moment what's going on, but my court will be January the 6th.
And that's the arraignment, right? Okay, so I'll mention that no one ever wants to come to these fucking arraignments, I'll tell you. But what do we know what time the arraignment is?
I get frustrated due to the fact that, you know, we are already on housing list and everything. Irene Chavez also will be housed as soon as the Moongate apartment's open. She was able to get an apartment there. But they don't understand. It's a process. We have to wait. There's no shelter or anything here for people because they're full right now. So where do they really want people to go? I mean, we need some place to sleep. We need a safe place to sleep.
Of course. They want you to disappear and get out of town or...
No, they don't want us out of sight. They want us inside. On the sidewalk, so we're on display to the rest of the community, you know? And it's really shameful that Salinas would put residents on the sidewalk. I lived here with Salinas over 50 years.
You don't have to convince me. It's true.
Yeah, you know, just sometimes it just feels that way because we always have to explain why. We're here, homeless, due to the fact no affordable housing here in our city. Mismanages funds, not our fault.
Dig it.
We're here for being just trying to live.
So, are there many cases like yours going to court, as far as you know, in Salinas?
And lots of people have been cited with ticketing for camping. And two, again, Martin versus Boyd's dad, so they're still giving tickets. They're still making us out to be criminals. So how can the Salinas City break the law to enforce the law?
What do the public defenders tell you about this kind of stuff? Or what do they tell homeless people? Because in theory, they have the argument that Martin versus Boise says.
Oh, when everybody goes to court, everybody gets fined, can't pay the fine, and they go to jail. So... again, I have to ask, is that why Monterey County, why did Salinas build a bigger jail? Is that how they plan on housing the homeless? We have a big, giant jail now. It looks like a prison. A juvenile hall now looks like a jail.
Hear you.
And we got a brand new police station opening up, you know? But where's our shelter? That is not to be seen yet. And that will only house 100 people, and there's over 2,000 homeless here in Salinas, California. So what are we going to do then?
Come in.
Salinas with the homeless problem. They're out of control. They wanted that
You're right,
instrument. They got it, but they don't want to do anything for the problem that they created. Chinatown, they put the people on the sidewalk. They created that mess. Now over here in Sherwood, they put people on the sidewalk. Do they want the same thing to come out as Chinatown, everybody on the street? You know, the reasons, we had the homeless community out there working together, cleaning it up. They shut us down, and they created a mess out there.
I'm going to interrupt now because you got more to say, but unfortunately I've got a visitor who's just arrived. Let me get back to you later, Rita. And we've been talking with Rita Acosta of the Salinas Homeless Union. Any final words, Rita?
Anybody else that's homeless, don't let the city take over you. Fight for your rights. We're human beings and we deserve a right to live.
In the meantime, demand a jury trial. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Rise up the starry bell in James Conley's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transport union so workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. James Conley came from Scotland, a rebel to the core. He wanted not just freedom, but socialism and more. He said, when we gain our freedom,
government's cruel hands. We'll have to fight the bankers, we'll have to make a stand. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transport union so workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. He held his line for liberty in the GPO. He held his line for freedom and he would not let it go. Well, the Brits, they bombarded them and they smashed them brick by brick. He held his line for freedom and a socialist republic. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's day. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transport union so workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. Shot him in a chair. They took him from the hospital and those who were there. Well, they set his lips at fire on that Easter morn. As the bullet pierced his heart, an Irish martyr was born. What will his legacy be now in this land of mine, where nothing has a reason and bitter has a rhyme? We fought the O's in Wexford, we drove out the blackened hands. Now we fight the bankers and their greasy hands. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transport union so workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. Rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name.
And as you might gather, that's the Starry Plow. Brief story is that James Connolly left school for working life at the age of 11, took a role in Scottish and American politics, member of the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, and founder of the Irish Socialist Republican Party. With James Larkin, he was centrally involved in the Dublin lockout of 1913, as a result of which the two men formed the Irish Citizen Army. That year, he opposed British rule in Ireland as one of the leaders of the Easter Rising of 1916. He was executed by firing squad following the rising. And there's lots more at Wikipedia. Fragments from the Food Not Bombs meal, Sunday.
Okay, it's about 6:05. No, actually 10 to 6, talking with
Lion.
And Lion, you say that you had to borrow $5 tonight because a gift card that you gotten for $10, what, given out to the downtown streets teams and such, didn't work?
Well, I don't know about those ones, but the one that I got a couple years back that I was saving for emergencies, and I ran into an emergency, and I went to the Starbucks, it's a Starbucks gift card, and they said that the law changed 2 months ago. And
what's now required?
I mentioned there was a law about getting $10 back on gift cards, and I was able to do that within the last few years whenever I needed that. And then, so now when I went and tried to do it, it didn't work. So for anybody who has gift cards, be aware that, you know, you can still get the food, unless I think you can call corporate, she said, and then they probably send you a check or whatever.
So that should help in a few days, or maybe a few weeks.
Yeah.
We've been talking with
Lion.
Thanks, Lion.
Thanks.
So I'm talking with
Paul. Yes.
Paul, we're taking you to the day and night storage run by Brent Adams about 6 o'clock on December 29th. We have a light rain, which kind of started more heavily. And you describe your situation. You've been outside in the Aptos area for about 5 years.
Correct. 5 years at this tent location for about 3 months. And yesterday I noticed that somebody came by, stole all my tarps, and damaged the aluminum framework piping of my tent. Left all of my blankets and everything there, but of course out, so now it's out in the rain.
And this, in the course of the last 5 years, this has never happened to you, even though your camp is it open? Is it visible from the outside?
No, it's not visible. It's well hidden this time off of the railroad tracks. This incident similarly took place a year ago when my tops were taken off of the tree stump by the property owner, and the sheriffs. I can understand that, but this time I don't know who did it, and it's disturbing.
So you've been outside. When you say the tree stump, give us a few more details of it.
Okay, the tree stump in Aptos, very large old tree stump. I was hollowed out. I can stretch out it, and I had a tarp on the top because it was cut about 10 or 12 feet all the way across on the top. It was a beautiful home for a year, but the property owners called these sheriffs, and I understandably had to leave because of just complaints of me going in and out.
You were ruining the tree, perhaps?
Yeah, possibly. Sometimes going into the property, using their property to get in. I couldn't go out some other way. It's very hard to get to location. So
your hair was too long for their taste?
No, it was just my coming in and out too much.
You were trespassing over their property.
Yeah, could be. But this time I'm not trespassing. I just don't. Somebody came by and took the tarps and damaged the pipes of my tent.
Now, were you near the same place where you had previously been around the? I'm still not quite understand what this tree stump thing is, but
well, the tree stump was. I left there a year ago. I was there for a year. I've been out of there for 1 year, but
you moved to another place.
Yes, and I've been
In Aptos.
Still in Aptos at this location. I've been there for 3 months and nobody's been bothering me at all because you can't be seen. It's well hidden, but for some reason.
How is Aptos as a place for folks outside?
It's not too bad if you know how to hide your things and be proper, be respectful of other people, and that works well with me. So.
In fact, your previous experience in Aptos, did you spend most of your time at home or at stump, if you will, or did you spend a lot of time out, you know, up out and about?
Oh, I would never hang out there unless it's holidays where there's no buses. But otherwise, I'm always leaving in the morning, 6 or 7, no matter where I am, and I take off and I come to Santa Cruz or hang out some other place, and I just go back late at night. I don't stay there during the day.
So, I think we can actually do this. Here we go. So I'm taking you to the warming center where, well, it's not the warming center. There is no warming center tonight, even though it's raining. I'm taking you to the day and night storage, which is open, actually, it's not really open day and night, but it's available if you get there during the morning, 2 hours. I think it's either 6 to 8 or 7 to 9 or 8 to 10. You can ask Brent. Maybe I'll ask Brent, too. And then the evening, it's, I think, 5 to 7. And so he's still open because it's not yet 7. And it's right here at the end of Felker Street, where a number of folks are also camping, although that's been a problem for Brent because he's trying to maintain a I ain't no homeless lover, or at least I ain't no camper lover, or some such thing. And so, he's going to help you tonight, that's for sure. At least that's what he says. So let's check it out and see how it goes.
I've been offered these warming centers. I just always turn them down because I've always had the place, but now I don't know what to do. It's frightening.
Now you need it. Yeah, I hear you, man. We've been talking with
Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
And here is a slightly earlier piece from the same day.
All right, well, I'm down here in the rain at a Food Not Bombs meal at 5 after 5, and we're talking with
FJ.
And FJ, are you out in the rain these days?
Well, we'll see. Tonight, a kind person had given me a little money. I might be able to afford one night for a motel or something.
$120, perhaps?
No, $30.
Exactly a $30 room in Santa Cruz?
$35 or something.
Wow, amazing. In the winter, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, maybe at that rate I might be able to get two nights. I don't know. I mean, in the past, but, you know, things are always opening and closing. Little windows, you know.
Outside last night?
Last night? I have trouble remembering. Yeah, I was outside. Yeah, I'm outside pretty much every night, yeah.
Any bothers from police or hassles?
We have conversations because, I did get a little pat down this week about because, you know, I've been kind of doing something stupid, but...
Doing what stupid? If you wish to say.
Doing what stupid? you know, acting out my frustrations. But
expressing your anger, your irritation, your rage?
You could say rage, yeah. But yeah, that would be actually...
What have you got to be enraged about? The world is beautiful.
Okay, all right, thank you for that. Yeah. But the one thing I want to say is I'm grateful that there's a little food here today because I almost didn't make it, you know. It was 3 o'clock. I said, oh, my gosh, I have to get down there. I wasn't here last week and the week before. You know, I'm part of this union. I have to just show up here and here.
Where's your food?
It's here.
Well, go get it.
Yeah, right.
Before
right.
It's gone.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
We've been talking with...
FJ.
Thanks, FJ. Okay. Talking to an observer of the Food Not Bombs organization, Keith McHenry in the rain is trying to organize his van, which contains all the food accoutrements, the tables, the chairs, the signs, the banners. Huh?
Don't you mean accoutrement?
Perhaps so.
You're going to pronounce it like...
Merci, madame. Votre français, c'est très bien, très bien. In any case, Fox, what have you observed so far?
What have I observed so far? I've just observed them attempting to fit all these things in there, and it looks like Keith has a map inside his brain of how the van works, and everyone else is just sort of following that.
Indeed, which is fine until they shoot the leader, of course.
Yes, which is fine until he disappears mysteriously. So, you know.
But until then, all seems to be at least kind of working, as long as he doesn't collapse, as has happened on a number of occasions.
Indeed.
I know that you've been working on trying to get support for the upcoming possible encampments, maybe building occupations, protests at City Hall. How's that going?
It's actually, the waters are very tepid at the moment. There's not a lot of responses.
But you're still trying, putting out the word.
We'll see.
Indeed. Any reports from our favorite group, MH Can, which you have some association with?
No, there's nothing there that I can really report. One of my friends who worked there recently quit, so I no longer have that connection.
Now, why did that person quit, or is it a secret?
MH Can, as many may know who are listening to this, is Mental Health Clients Action Network, which is kind of a supposedly peer-run group, which actually is better than any of the other psychiatric so-called support services, or at least that's the... I haven't really polled what services exist recently, but that's been my understanding in the past.
I actually don't know. I have theories, but...
What are your theories about this?
These are classified theories.
Oh, I see. Insufficiently high classification for me? I'm not that high anyway.
Yeah, you're not at that clearance level.
Pretty low, actually. How low can I go? I don't know.
Yeah.
Any reports about what you've seen here today in the middle of the rain here at this soggy meal? Although I see hot water for washing dishes, strangely enough, in the middle of the rain. Or is it hot, or is that my imagination?
I mean, there's steam coming off of it, so one would assume it's hot.
Let's see. It's warm, for sure. All right. Interesting. Keith McHenry is preparing the buckets for washing the dishes.
These are buckets.
He's the bucket man. He's the bucket brigade here.
Okay. Now,
he doesn't have anything to say. A little to say, and I'm not going to say any more.
And yesterday on Coral Street, I stopped to chat with some folks who were, well, standing in front of bunches of clothing and a few tents near the railroad tracks, and we had this conversation.
2:35 on 1st January 2020, talking with
Billy Lowry.
Billy, we're here at the Coral Street... where it intersects with Limekiln and the campsite of yours.
Yeah, I've been at the corner. I was down the street. They came this morning on New Year's. I guess to prove a point, they wrote me a ticket.
You're not safe at any time.
No, yeah. And tomorrow they'll be coming with a truck to take anything that's left here.
They're going to put it in storage for 90 days as they're supposed to?
No. They're going to do like they did all 6 times with me. Throw everything away, but pick out what they want.
Describe for me what you've got here.
Just my clothes, that's all. Ain't no use to having expensive things, because if they do, they start trying to find out if it's stolen, or especially if you got a good looking bike, they all over. They see five bikes back here that I'm fixing up for people. They went through the whole numbers. They didn't take one. So I'm not worried about it. Because as soon as I get a bike, if I buy a bike off somebody, I ask the officer, would you run them numbers? If it's stolen, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm giving you the bike.
Looks like a lot of clothes you got here. Is this... how are you able to haul all this from the... You did this in a number of trips, I guess.
Yeah. Well, these clothes, I take them to the wash off, wash them. If I deem them good, then I give them back to them.
Right on. And what are you going to do? You're not going to have time to do that before tomorrow, and not on New Year's Day.
No. Hopefully somebody come pick me up tonight, go to the washout, if it's open.
If it's open. I have no idea if it is
or
not.
The college one should be open.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to spend another $47. I spent $47 2 weeks ago in Capitola just to come home so it can rain and get it all soaking wet.
I remember. I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
I think I remember. Anything new happened in the last week here?
Other than the police been arresting us for the last 3 days, the thing came and took, the big truck came and took some people's property.
Right.
They didn't come with the digger. Last time they came, the first time they came with the digger and
the scoop.
Yeah, the scoop, and took Shorty's tent.
Remember, you talked about the three women who lost all their property.
That was wrong. So, she had her ID in there and everything. Her medication, they did that.
So I see that there's some tents still set up. Are they making people take down their tents, or what's going on with that?
Well, they ain't saying nothing about taking down our tent. They just gave us a warning. If we're here the next day, everything that's still here goes, no matter what.
How many cops are involved?
Six.
And all of them, you recognize any of them?
All, yeah, the same ones.
Names of any of them?
No, I can't remember. They don't mean nothing.
Anything, is there much of a community developing here? Are people supporting each other, or is it people worrying about their own stuff being taken, or both?
Well, they didn't try to put a leash on us. And they tightened it up, and attitudes start flaring up. There's been some commotion, but all in all, we're still sticking together. Come here. We're still sticking together.
All right. And we've been talking with?
Billy Lowry.
Thanks, Billy. So a Goodwill guy went after you because you put back your own coat on.
Yes,
after
in store.
Tell me a little bit. Repeat that story a little bit for me.
I came and went to the Goodwill. I was wearing my coat. I had shorts on. It was nighttime. It was cold. I had only $5. I asked her if I could buy a pair of pants for $5. They were $8.99. She said no. So as I left the Goodwill, I put my own jacket back on. Yes, I stole a pair of pants because I was cold. The pair that I was trying to buy that she wouldn't take the money for. He goes, can you give back our jacket as I'm walking out the door? I said, it's not my jacket. Watch the cameras. Ask the lady. I came in this jacket. No, that's our jacket. I just kept walking. He followed me out the door, tackled me, handcuffed me so hard that I bled through on both wrists, called the cops, lied to them and said I was trespassing because he said he asked me before. I'd never been asked to leave that store because I always go there and buy things. I've
Which
never,
Goodwill was it?
The one over by the clock tower. Would you say that?
Where? Downtown.
Over by the clock tower. I showed the cops even my wrists that were bleeding. The cop was appalled and took the cuffs off me and told me that I should never shop there. Well, obviously, I'm not welcome back. But he was saying I was trespassing because he couldn't get the cops there just by saying I stole a pair of pants. He had to tell him I was trespassing. But the cop said, did you ask her to ever leave before today? Mm-hmm. He said, yes. I said, no, you didn't. And the other lady said, no, I don't think we did. Okay, so...
Name of this guy is...
He's the security guard there.
Do we know his name, or what does he look like?
I don't know his name. Do you know what it is?
No,
but he's always the same one. They only have one, and he goes to all of them, apparently, so he's not always
white,
there.
Black?
Hispanic.
Hispanic.
Yeah, he's Hispanic. He was very rude to me. Like, he wouldn't uncuff me, even though my wrists were bleeding, till the cop got there.
How were your wrists doing? Yeah.
I got...
Yeah. Good God, man. Yeah, you just showed me your right wrist. It's got scabs on it.
Wow.
Want to give me your first name?
Kristen. Yeah.
And
he was trying to get the cop to take me to jail, and the cop goes, I don't usually take people to jail for stealing a pair of pants with goodwill. He said, if she's trespassing and you have it on paperwork, so he goes and he looks, but there's no paperwork because he never asked me to leave before. So I signed new paperwork, so I can't go back there now, which is okay, but there was no past paperwork because he never asked me to leave because I'd never stolen there before.
Well, I bet that taught you a good lesson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, and he told me that if I wanted pants next time to go to the church and give me a voucher, I said, how long would that take? Oh, about a week. So I'm freezing cold at night, and I have $5. I'm trying to buy a pair of pants, but I'm going to wait a week to get a pair of pants to be warm. Does that make any sense?
In Santa Cruz, it's the standard operating practice. How long have you been in Santa Cruz now?
10 years. I'm from Santa Barbara.
How long on the streets?
8.
In Santa Barbara, housed or unhoused?
Well, I was basically housed until then. My daughter went to Berkeley, and I lost my housing because my daughter came to Berkeley, and I needed to spend my money on her college, so. And then I came here to be closer to her. Actually, I wasn't coming here, but I stopped here and got robbed when I got off the bus to get lunch and couldn't leave here. So then when I could leave here after I got my phone numbers and stuff together, I already kind of got settled here, and I met a couple of nice people that took me in, so.
And you're outside pretty much now.
Yeah, I live in a tent.
And how is tent life here? And is it on Coral Street? Or?
No, I live in the Poconips, but the police and the Rangers like to come up there and harass us. They like to come up and the Rangers will slash my tent. They have cut it a couple of times, no warning. Another time they gave me a 3-day notice, but the next day when I came home, my tent was just gone. My bike, my trash, everything. That's how you know it's the Rangers, because no one's going to come steal your tent and your trash.
That's very considerate of them.
So considerate. They kick us out every couple months and threaten us and steal our stuff. I saw them taking my food. They took my food box.
Hungry. Come on.
Yeah, they needed my cereal. They even said, the one said to the other, look, it's not even open. You can take it home. Need it.
Share and share alike.
I love sharing with the Rangers. They're so kind to me. And he said to me, this is what he said to me too. I said, how come when I camp by myself, which isn't really safe because I'm a female, you leave me alone, but when I camp with somebody, you harass me? And he said, because when you guys congregate, you spread diseases.
Well, that's obvious from the very word go. I mean, I know that. You know that. We all know. That's common knowledge.
We're congregating.
Jews both.
I said, you mean like sexually transmitted diseases? And he said, no, just diseases. You know, scabies, lice, flus, strep, staph.
So he's really doing it as a public health benefit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I see.
But if we just go off in the woods by ourselves, as safe as females, you know, and don't bother anyone, then we won't congregate, so we won't spread diseases.
Did you use the Ross camp or the second Ross camp?
I don't like cops enough to hang out at those because they harass them more than they do when you're off by yourself. I try to be as low-key as possible. I like to clean up my trash. I like to stay away from Rangers and cops because I like to stay in one place more than a week, you know? And I did have a dog till somebody kidnapped it. And
name of your dog?
Pounder. And it was just hard to have to move my dog all the time because then he didn't know where home was, you know? So, if I don't have to move very often, then that's better for me. Obviously, for anybody. Even if I have to go way up in the Poconips, which I've resorted to doing because I get harassed less there.
Do you have a phone?
I do, but I just got it. I've had one stolen at least a month as when I've tried to get a phone. It's the cops have taken them and not getting them back. They don't show up in property. They're the same with the Rangers. My money disappears in property. It doesn't go in my books. It just disappears.
Last time this happened?
I just got out of jail over the Goodwill thing.
How long were you in jail?
3 days because I was kicking drugs and I was too sick to stay. And I started doing drugs on the streets because people do drugs on the streets and you get depressed. And so, you know, you get depressed and you do drugs.
You were arrested for the goodwill item.
I was because I had a warrant for stealing food from a Safeway.
So you're just constantly stealing food and clothing. What's wrong with you?
I know, right? Bad seed, I guess.
So stay away from my Safeway.
Funny because that's all I've been caught stealing was food and clothing, yes. And not even a lot of it. It was like a bag of chips and a sandwich, I think.
You're just a public nuisance or menace, might even say. Yeah. So you're down your own. What brings you here today? Is it?
My friends. That's my friend Billy, and he helped me out with clothing because my clothing and just all got thrown away by the Rangers. And each time that they do this, I get to start over, and I don't always have money. And some of my friends are kind enough to give me some clothing. So sometimes people donate it here. They'll drop it off. I'm going to go closer to my purse right here because it's kind of weird or hard to leave my purse on the street and people tend to
walk away with it. It walks away?
Yeah. And I get that other homeless people are desperate and need things too, so I understand when things get stolen. It's just frustrating because it would be better if we were a community and we could help each other. Because if I have extra of anything, I'm willing to share.
Is any of that happening? Or?
It does.
You're talking about Billy helping you out.
He helps me. We try to help each other. There's a community of us that really do help each other. I mean, to my detriment, I will give people clothes on my back. I gave a lady last week, I had a pair of pants under my pants because it was cold, like leggings, and she needed pants, so I gave her the pants I had on top. Well, last night my shoes broke, and she took her shoes off and gave me shoes because I had to walk, and she didn't. She was staying here tonight. So, thank you. So we literally will help each other to, as much as we possibly can. But there's a few bad seeds anywhere. In the public, in the best housing and the worst housing, there's some people that just aren't good people. And there are people that are good people.
And some people deliver hamburgers.
And there's the wonderful people.
Although I was munching out here
because my mom's a hippie. But I know that someone else will be hungry, so I take it and pass it along, And I never say no to people that are trying to be kind to me. I just say thank you and,
And I say thank you to those who give me information for the broadcast.
You know what I learned is one day is I didn't used to take things from people because I felt guilty or like I maybe didn't deserve it or something. But what somebody told me one day was when you don't take something that I give you that I really want you to have, you're taking away my joy of being able to help or give you something. So I decided to just say thank you and then pass it to someone who needs it. Because there's always somebody out here that needs it, and why should I do that? If someone really wants to give you something, why would you be ungrateful,
I will pass on this wisdom to the next people.
If you figure
out your phone number, give me a call so I can stay in touch and hear about your latest adventures, if you want.
No problem.
And we've been talking with?
Kristen Sanchez. I have four daughters, too, that are all doing wonderful in the world. So if I raised four good children, I can't be that bad, right?
you're a very, very bad woman. I've got my eye on you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Shut up.
Yeah, well.
She's a psychologist now and a teacher.
All right. Well, that's
good. And I have a daughter who's a fashion designer in New York City, too.
Eat that burger before it gets cold.
Vegan.
Vegan?
Wow.
To round off the broadcast, since we're reaching the end of this particular netcast, actually, here's an article that you may already have read in Tuesday's Santa Cruz Sentinel. It's actually a reprint, of course, from another paper. Sentinel has very few original articles. This is by Brooke Stagg, Southern California News Group, 6 Things to Watch For in 2020, From Key Court Cases to Clearing Criminal Records. It will be another big year for cannabis policy. As California enters its third year of legal recreational cannabis sales, many expect upcoming new laws, high-profile court cases, and major criminal justice reforms to shake up the industry. Marijuana advocates are wary after a challenging second year, but most also are hopeful that changes in 2020 will put them in a better position a year from now. Don't count me as a part of that group. We always knew it would be an uphill battle, said Robert Flannery of Dr. Rob Farms, a cannabis cultivation company based in Desert Hot Springs. But there are very few people who are not generally optimistic about the cannabis industry. Here are six things for Californians to watch for when it comes to cannabis in 2020. 1. Deliveries go to court. April of 2019, one county in 24 cities sued the California Bureau of Cannabis Control over a rule that permits marijuana deliveries throughout the state, even in communities that don't allow cannabis businesses. That case, pitting advocates for access to legal cannabis against local governments fighting for control, read prohibition, over the industry, is finally due to go to trial in Fresno County Superior Court starting, no joke, April 20th. I'm a little relieved to say I haven't heard about this happening in Santa Cruz, but maybe I missed the memo. I never can be sure. Another lawsuit on the docket in 2020 tackles the same issue at a local level. Attorney General Xavier Becerra in November joined a suit filed by East of Eden Cannabis Company after, Santa Cruz County banned marijuana deliveries by companies it hasn't licensed. The next hearing in that case is scheduled for Thursday, January 2nd. So the right-wing Board of Stupid Vipers, supervisors in Santa Cruz, is going up against the state attorney general, which is trying to essentially support the rights of East of Eden Cannabis Company. Thank you, Ryan Coonerty. Thank you, friend. Thank you, whoever else passed this monstrosity. Of course, I could be wrong. If those guys did not vote for this, good for you. I don't have those facts at my fingertip right now. My fingertips. Legislative changes. Three new marijuana laws take effect Wednesday, January 1st. Senate Bill 34 will let licensed businesses donate products for medical marijuana patients in need. Assembly Bill 37 will let cannabis operators deduct expenses, a standard business practice that's been blocked due to federal law. And Assembly Bill 1810 makes it illegal for passengers in limos, taxis, and other commercial vehicles to consume cannabis, though they can still drink alcohol. Isn't that wonderful? Effectively ending any hope of cannabis party buses. Also on Wednesday, mandated industry tax hikes will hit an already struggling industry. Businesses say more legislative changes are needed if they stand a chance of competing against the thriving illicit market, with wholesale cannabis prices expected to fall in the coming year. There are calls for a potential overhaul to the tax structure, and with shops allowed in just 20% of California cities, there's talk of trying to force cities with residents that supported Proposition 64 to allow marijuana businesses in their borders. Also, in the wake of a vaping-related health crisis that in 2019 killed at least 54 people and left another 2,506 with serious lung injuries, new state or federal laws governing the vaping sector are expected. 3. Clearing the record. Proposition 64 retroactively reduced penalties for just about every crime involving cannabis, downgrading marijuana sales without a license, for example, from a felony to a misdemeanor. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of stats on who's being held in the local jail on these kinds of crimes and other drug war crimes. If it's a large percentage, I say get those guys out, and the gals too. But data shows only a fraction of the people eligible to petition the courts to have these marijuana crimes reduced or cleared from their records since the law passed in November 2016 have done so, presumably due to the time, cost, and expertise involved. The legislature in September 2018 approved Assembly Bill 1793, which requires the state to proactively track down and process all marijuana cases eligible for expungement. The bill gave local prosecutors until July 1st of this year, 2020, to process eligible cases, and it's expected that several hundred thousand people could have marijuana cases downgraded or dropped from their records. That could make them newly eligible for jobs, housing, and other benefits often denied to convicted felons. 4. Weed Maps Cleanup. The Irvine-based online marijuana shop directory Weed Maps has continued to promote illicit retailers even after California's Bureau of Cannabis Control, the high and mighty California Bureau, sent Weed Maps a cease and desist letter in February 2018, and it's still going even though Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill effective July 1st that lets regulators fine unlicensed parties up to $30,000 each day that they're in violation of the state cannabis laws. Weed Maps said in September it would stop advertising illicit businesses by the end of the year. As of Friday, December 27th, ads for cannabis shops in cities that have banned retail were still easy to find on the website. Big deal. If the illicit ads don't come down in the next week, licensed businesses expect to see major fines handed down by the state, with calls for tougher enforcement across the industry in the year to come. And if the ads do come down, the industry will have a real-time test in 2020 of just how important Weed Maps was in bolstering the illicit market. Considering the fact that the local cities throughout the state have done what they can to make, and counties have done what they can to make it illegal to essentially cultivate and sell marijuana with, I don't know, even the freedom that alcohol is sold with, I have no problem understanding why the illicit market is flourishing. More states eye legalization, number 5. Licensed cannabis shops will open for the first time in Illinois starting Wednesday, January 1st, making it the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana and the first to do so through the legislature. But in the coming year, as many as 6 more states are expected to consider legalizing cannabis through the legislature led by Vermont, which legalized cannabis possession in 2018, New Mexico, and New York. And another 12 states could vote in November on legal cannabis, including Arizona, New Jersey, Ohio, and Florida. That could give California's legal industry more clout as it pushes for federal reforms in 2020. And finally, number 6, federal changes afoot. September saw the first ever federal vote on a standalone cannabis bill when the House of Representatives voted to let federally insured banks work with cannabis businesses in states that have legalized marijuana. While that SAFE Banking Act still faces the Republican-controlled Senate, observers are predicting some version of the bill will pass in 2020. And that's the story from the Santa Cruz Sentinel. 6 things to watch for in 2020, from key court cases to clearing criminal records. It'll be another big year for cannabis policy. A lot of information in there, although what's really relevant locally is perhaps less, and it's more for all of us marijuana news voyeurs. And I think that's about it for this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Hoping that in the future, Alicia Kuhl, who has a show slated to follow mine, may actually put one together. She's really busy, struggling hard. I think she now has a new job over the hill, if I'm not mistaken. But if you want to catch her updates, go to the Santa Cruz County Homeless Advocates or come to the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless meetings on Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Food Not Bombs meal right outside the main post office. I will be coming back with another story on a whole bunch of little stories or going on and on at you again on Sunday, probably 9:30, unless I choose to take a well-deserved vacation, which I'll continue to threaten to do, and so don't be surprised. Thanks for listening. Give me a call if you have any updates, questions, or reports. 423-4833, area code 831.